Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 96 of the car wash. On today's show, too much fighting within our coaches. How dare Sundowns concede a goal, and has Truta's time come to an end? Whether you're tuning in on SL Podcast at Seattle.za, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Play, or Mucky King 96.7 Game Time, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Roberts, and of course, I'm not alone. Teko Madisa himself. How are you, sir?
I'm good, and you, Sean?
I'm very well, thank you.
Awesome.
Couple of big games yesterday, which you're going to get into, obviously, after this world-class joke of the day. How do you cut an ocean in half?
Can't.
You use a seesaw.
Wow, we're getting better and better.
Just get better.
Yeah.
Oh man. Anyway, from there we move on to pole position.
Pole position.
Pole position is a segment where we ask our fans and our supporters club a certain question and get voice notes replies. This week we asked you, was the Soweto Derby win the turning point in the season for Kaizer Chiefs? And this is what you had to say.
Against Pirates, they played well. They deserved to win because they were playing a good football against Pirates. Even against Maritzburg, they played well. Manet Paga, at least he's playing good football now. But coming to the end of the season, I see Kaizer Chiefs ending there on position 9.
Chiefs did gain a lot of momentum and confidence from that 2-1 victory they had against Orlando Pirates because of the way they performed. It was performing in a big game for 90 minutes, probably for the first time under Stuart Baxter, so it gave them a lot of confidence.
To be honest, Kaizer Chiefs not feeling well, even though we win, we keep winning games. So far we win that, we win Maritzburg, but Chiefs, the way they play, there's no structure there. Yes, players are there, but structure is not there because of that old man, because don't want to use young players.
Kaizer Chiefs winning against Maritzburg United is all. Late, it was good. Although we didn't play so good, but the win. 3 points, you never leg it.
If it's in Gakuvega, Slala, so level is in Slala, so Slala, Connor, 5-6. But if it's a football, and you see as US Kaizer Chiefs, they attack Ayo, they win now. The title Chiefs is where you've been a normal kanjani, because Chiefs in our play, in our own game, the corner for Chiefs.
Take obviously a bit of a mixed bag of replies there. Some saying absolute no, some saying it is a start of things to come. I'm sort of stuck in the middle, really. We see glimpses of Kaizer Chiefs, the old Kaizer Chiefs coming through, the ability to score goals, but the ability to keep on conceding, and that seems to be a problem. It happened last night, which we'll go into after this. Do you think the Soweto Derby was a turning point for Kaizer Chiefs this season?
Not according to the numbers, though.
The stats.
Not according to the stats. Because if you look at after they played Pirates, right? Yeah. I think they won just one game after that, Maritzburg, and then they drew AmaZulu. So whenever Kaizer Chiefs are about to win their third game on the road, they find it difficult to probably win. So they either draw or lose. So they haven't really found their rhythm or their momentum like they want to.
Yeah. So what is that? What is that lack of consistency? What is that a lack of quality? Is that a lack of, what's the word, confidence, or a bit of both?
I think it's because of confidence. And not only just probably maybe on attacking, maybe defensively, maybe the team might lack confidence because of how they concede goals. So it just depends also on the game. So if you look at against their display against the Orlando Pirates, if we're being honest, Orlando Pirates played better on the day.
you know, they created a lot of chances and they made mistakes and they got punished. But also that's football, right? You football, it's a game of opportunities. You find opportunities and then you punish. But yet again, Kansas Chiefs are trying to get that momentum, but they look like a team that if given an opportunity, if found the momentum, they're going to cause problems. And I think with what they're dealing with, the lack of consistency, it's not just them. It's the PSL.
In general,
a lot of teams are struggling with that. A lot of teams are struggling to find somebody that can bang in goals for them week in, week out. So it's just a PSL struggle, not just Kansas Chiefs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a good segment to lead into the Kaizer Chiefs versus AmaZulu game played last night. Again, in my opinion, a very soft goal being conceded by Kaizer Chiefs. A rare error, I think, was from Ngobo that gave the ball away. I stand to be corrected. But again, a ball coming in and a player coming behind the defender, it's just absolute criminal. But going forward, I thought Keegan Dolly again, the ability to get behind the defenders is only getting better and better as the weeks go on. So a great signing for Kaizer Chiefs there. But again, Teko, we talk about going into the lead. Again, let's not forget Cole Alexander got sent off. But Kaizer Chiefs getting a lead, possibly a little bit against the run of the play, but conceding again at the wrong time.
Look, Sean, it's one thing to get a lead against the run of play, and it's another you try not to maintain that lead while you're under pressure, while you're not in control of the game. Mm-hmm. So no matter what happens actually this season, if there's one thing that we need to understand as football fans is Kaizer Chiefs are in a transitional mode. They're rebuilding the team. They want to compete, yes, but also they want to also see themselves how far they are and what is it that they need to add on into the team. So I think there's a lot of things that are expected from Kaizer Chiefs, and which is unfair, especially this early, because when Kaizer Chiefs, you look at the
is it unfair, Teko?
It is, because I'll tell you this: you look at Kaizer Chiefs performance right now, you look at Kaizer Chiefs results right now compared to last season. So there is an improvement, but also you because you're a team that is so used to winning things for so many years, you find it very difficult to understand that you need to rebuild at some point. And I think that's where the problem is, because you look at when Kaizer Chiefs play, when they win, there's always complaints that there's too many defenders within the team, there's too many things. But also you'd want to build a team, you want to have a solid team, you want to have a solid base that you can build on. And Stuart Baxter is not in an easy seat or easy position where this is a seat where they lost this league title, you know, on the last day of the season. This is a seat where they went to the Champions League last season without knowing how they got there, but they still lost. They were having a horrible season. So yeah, it's not being a great season in Kaizer Chiefs. So things are difficult. I think there are a lot of patience that is required from everybody within Kaizer Chiefs, but I think Stuart Baxter is doing what he can. And there's a lot of improvements that can be expected, yes. A lot of players that still need to be given a chance, yes. So we'll see.
Yeah, and just touch on AmaZulu quickly. Good fighting spirit, as you'd expect, under Benny.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see. I think it was Ntuli that scored again, so it's nice to see him finding form once again after his lengthy injury last season. Not the AmaZulu we know from last season, Teko, but they seem to be getting better week in and week out, especially against the bigger teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, AmaZulu didn't start very well this season. They struggled a little bit. They needed to find a proper balance, you know, on competing in Africa and domestically as well. Now that they found a little bit of room, a little bit of a chance to breathe, I think it's imperative for them to find themselves and start winning games. And I think with this break that's going to come in January, I think we're going to see two competitors, especially for the second round.
Yes.
I think that's going to be like a mini pre-season type of thing where most teams are going to need that to make sure that they recover from injuries and suspensions and loss of form.
Yes.
But those teams that we've seen competing last season for the top 8 spot, they're going to come back again. And I think it's going to be very interesting second round, and it will be really, really nice to see AmaZulu continuing the way they were, especially for last season. But they've got a team, eh? They've got a team.
They've got a squad. They've got a proper squad. With depth as well, which is good to see. Moving on swiftly to the game that you did last night, the big Pretoria derby, Mamelodi Sundowns versus SuperSport United.
Hooray!
That ended 2-2. You obviously, you know, when you start looking at the screen after 50 minutes or so, you see it's 2-0. You think, you know, that's a job well done, as expected from Mamelodi Sundowns. And then all of a sudden, from the person you least expect to see two mistakes in the game, Dennis Onyango handed sort of SuperSport a lifeline and giving them a point. I think Rulani said after the game, you know, it wasn't their best results or form. I would say they played far too. They played far too quickly, I think. I think the speed of the game was far too quick for a SuperSport team. SuperSport cut the field. They had too many chances against the Mamelodi Sundowns defense, what he said. Teko, a fair result of the game. Do you think it was all Mamelodi Sundowns? Or do you think, yes, okay, there was two errors from a goalkeeper, but Dennis Onyango, do you think it was a fair result, or was SuperSport lucky to get a point there?
No, it's a fair result. I mean, credit needs to be given to the visiting team, which is SuperSport.
Sure.
They made a sub that changed the approach altogether. You know, especially in the second half, they changed the system a little bit. They changed the personnel. And they changed, and then they started attacking. They started playing better than they were in the first half. In the first half, I think I wouldn't say horrible, but they were not convincing. They didn't look like a team that would score anytime soon. And I think, you know, it's not easy for a coach to come back from a 2-0, especially against Mamelodi Sundowns, a team that hasn't conceded until last night. And I think it was one of those games. I think SuperSport needs to be given a lot of credit, because at some point as well, I felt like SuperSport have an opportunity to win the game.
Yeah, that's a good point. And let's don't forget, these are the first goals being conceded by Sundowns. I think it's the 11th or 12th game this season. So incredible feat that, but great result for SuperSport United. Let's quickly move on to Stellenbosch FC against Pirates yesterday. It was an early kickoff in Cape Town. 3-0 to Pirates, convincing when it should have been 4. There was an offside there, or something was given, I don't know why. Individual mistakes defensively for Stellenbosch, which must be a concern for Steve Barker going into the new year. But a deserved and needed win for Pirates, Teko.
Yeah, I mean, and for Pirates, I can assume how difficult it would have been playing against a side that is very stubborn to lose this season. Which is Stellenbosch. I think it was their first loss yesterday.
Loss in 11 games, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very difficult team to beat this season. They found themselves. But also for Orlando Pirates, I think if it's, you know, if there is a moment where they should actually look at and try to find positive things or find their rhythm, I think this is the game, because playing against Stellies, it's not an easy task. So they should be building momentum from that win. They should be looking at maybe, you know, getting another 3 points or 6 points just before the break. And then whenever you come back, you're in a better position. And yes, it was important victory for them. It was important victory for big teams yesterday. So let's see how things are going to end up, especially in the last game on the 20th of December.
Yeah, I agree. Stellenbosch at home is not an easy game. They seem to have found their local stadium, and it's sort of a golden arrows away fixture, isn't it, Stellenbosch away? So it's a toughie. Let's move on to what has been said in the Sokola Doom this week. Baxter Rulani Bruce public spat. I think it's a bit unfair of Baxter in terms of having a public spat, but we are aware of what Rulani has said in terms of when, you know, players leave for Bofana, but there's no stats or the data that comes back on the players. And I think, let me just get to this. There we go. Yeah, Hugo Boss, also insisted that Amakhazi star Njabulo Ngobo is better suited as a defender rather than a midfielder, where Baxter has been deploying him. What is your opinion on that, Teko?
Right, that the national team coach things.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird one. I mean, would you prefer Norbo in the defend? Do you see him more as a defender or a midfielder? And it's a bizarre one. If you're playing one position for your club and then you go play another position for your country, I'm not too convinced on that.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, we've seen the Norbo situation a lot in the national team where players are playing different position when they get to the national team. So for me to see Norbo, the debate, it's not something new. It's just that it's so exposed right now, or you find a coach that is open enough to talk about it. Mm. But Norbo was a defender of the year last season for a reason. He was a defender of the year. Mm. So he gets to a KZ Chiefs where they probably want to play a different system. They want to use him better, maybe in a better position because of how comfortable he is on the ball.
Yeah.
And I think if he gets to play more in the midfield, whether it's something that we like to see or not, whether it's benefiting KZ Chiefs or not, as a player himself, there's a lot of aspects of his game that is going to improve.
Sure.
Come defensively, how comfortable he should be, you know, being familiar with his surroundings. I think that's what midfield teaches you. But yet again, for national team coach to sound like he knows Njabulo Blom better than the coach that works with him every day, I think that's an insult.
Yeah, I do agree with you. And Baxter actually went on record saying, you know, Bruce has not come to Naturena for a training session, and he's always welcome. The door's open, but it's never happened. So I think Baxter felt a little bit pushed into a corner there, and I fully agree with you, Teko. That is a little bit of a slight insult, but also good analysis. You know, if a player is going to be playing in the midfield, it's obviously going to work on his game in terms of awareness and first touch, etc., to assist him in, when he goes back into defence. I like that analogy. But let's move on to what's happening at Swallows. The Swallows addresses call for Truta's sacking. David Mokoshoa has a message for the diehard Swallows supporters. He said, "I think our fans need to understand that you don't win every game, and that is why we are urging them to be patient. The coach has my support." That is very good to see. What is happening behind the scenes, we don't know whether this is a front or not. But it's also nice to see that chairman backing coaches in the public, because we do sometimes see it unnecessarily in terms of what's happening at Chipper now, where people being put on special leave, in inverted commas. This is refreshing, Teko, but also I'm not too sure if this is too long term.
I mean, with Silas, I think this season it's been the message, it's been the frustrations that the coach also was given a special leave, and I mean they're trying to find, you know, that excitement, that form back, and it's not easy. It's very difficult, especially also after signing the players that they've signed.
Yeah.
I think it's tough times for them, and as much as the chairman can come out and show his full support to the coach and his technical team, but it all boils down to the players. I think we had this conversation before, because no matter what happens to Truta, the new coach that comes, they found Solas in the same position as Truta left, and they need to work hard to take the team out of that position. So It's always nicer to deal with the coach that actually understands and knows the culture of the team that you've worked with so long. But yet again, football has no guarantees. Sometimes, you know, a new broom actually sweeps better. So you can see. Yeah, that's what they say in football. Ah, the new broom suits better. You can see where this is going. I understand this is football, and I think with Coach Shooter knew. When he started being a coach in the PSL, he knew there's no guarantees. You know, the results are the ones actually that keeps you.
Yeah.
And now Swallows has been struggling to win games, and people are just tired of seeing Swallows not losing. They want to see Swallows winning. You know, and I think that's where the struggle is.
Yeah, I think being a head coach in the PSL is not for the faint-hearted. You literally live out of a suitcase, that's for sure. Let's move to the international news desk. We are joined by Soccer Laduma's international news correspondent, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. Kurt Buckerfield, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks, gents. How are we?
Hey, so Bucky.
Yo, someone's tired.
Bucky. No, it's too early, come on. Hey, I'm not.
not a footballer anymore.
The man needs his sleep.
Bruh, yo.
I'm telling you, he's getting no sleep. Is Ollie, what's happening there, my boy?
What a segue.
Thank you, thank you.
How's that link?
It's beautiful. I'm getting good at this. Curti, Ollie, yes. No more.
Ollie is no more, yeah. Yeah, he's been fired. I think it can't be a surprise to many people. Right. We spoke about it. Was it last week on the show we spoke about it, or the week before, where I talked about how I felt like Manchester United seemed to have a good thing going last season. And it seemed like he had at least an idea of the way he wanted the team to play. It looked like Manchester United set up to play counter-attacking football with fast forwards. And, you know, that changed the season. I think with the arrival of Cristiano Ronaldo, I think the entire plan went out the window. That's not to say that Ronaldo is the problem, but I think it caused a problem for Solskjaer that he couldn't solve. It's interesting that none of the coaching staff was sacked along with him. I think Paul Scholes said in the week that he believed they all should have gone. Our producer Aiden is going to play some audio for us. The audio we don't own is property of BT Sport.
I'd be almost embarrassed being on the staff now after what happened to Ollie. I think they all should have gone, whether they were sacked or they go off their own back, because they were part of Ollie's team. Ollie trusted them each week to prepare a team for games, and they've let the club down, they've let the players down just as much as Ollie has.
And I think Scholes has a point. It's well known that the staff that have remained, so it's Michael Carrick, Kieran McKenna and Mike Phelan, all took the training sessions. They prepared the team. Solskjaer was kind of the guy who oversaw everything, sort of like a Ferguson role.
Sure.
And I, you know, I've read that...
But not a Ferguson.
Of course not a Ferguson. I have read that a few players aren't happy with those training sessions. Kieran McKenna in particular is apparently someone who... has been compared to like a school, like a PE coach, a PE teacher.
His method. It's hard to believe at that level. It's hard
It is hard to believe, but so he's the under-18s, I think, head coach, or was the under-18s head coach. Bruno Fernandes, I think Cristiano Ronaldo, they aren't happy with the level and the standards of the training session. So while I do agree that, you know, those on the coaching staff represent all that went wrong just as much as Ollie did. There was a report yesterday I was reading that said that there were very key philosophical differences between Ollie and some of his staff. Don't know who they might be talking about. Maybe that's Carrick. But it's interesting. It's very interesting. Also, it just shows that Manchester United had absolutely no plan to sack Solskjaer. Apparently, Carrick, McKenna and Phelan were all handed three-year contracts just like a month ago. It wasn't something that was announced. But it's really embarrassing for a club of that size to operate that way. But we'll see. I mean, loads...
But my question is, Kurt, the new coach that comes in will obviously want his backroom staff. So how does that work?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I think if they hire... So the plan is, Manchester United have said, the plan is to get an interim manager in until the end of the season and then look to appoint a permanent manager. So I'm not sure whether the interim manager would get rid of all the guys at Manchester United. Perhaps an interim manager could do with all the help he could get, the familiarity of those who've already worked with the players. But I think, obviously, when a permanent manager comes in, it's likely to be Pochettino. All of those guys will go. I think everybody expects that anyway.
Yeah, that is so bizarre. Let's move on to last night's games, or this week's games, I should say, in terms of the Champions League. Last night's game with Man City, PSG, was just next level.
Yeah.
In terms of everything, and obviously the best team won. Mm-hmm. Any other results that caught your eye, and something that you want to touch on?
I was kind of impressed with the last 20 minutes of Manchester United's game against Villarreal, the 2-0 win away from home. Bruno Fernandes came on as a second half substitute, and I thought the game changed. He's just a world class player who
should not be on the bench.
Who can? Yeah, I do believe they need to rotate more. I like the fact that Carrick put him on the bench straight away, particularly because Bruno hasn't actually been very good in recent weeks. But as soon as he came on, just total control of the game, Manchester United started bossing possession. He started creating chances. And I just think that he's a phenomenal player. What other games were played on Tuesday night?
Give me 2 seconds. United, we had Bayern, Kiev, Chelsea 4-0.
Oh, Chelsea beating Juventus 4-0. Yeah, that's huge. But no, that game last night, the City and PSG game was incredible. The standard of football, the level of football in a game like that is just incredible.
Yeah.
That PSG side, though, do not resemble, I tweeted this last night, do not resemble Pochettino at all. He doesn't want his team to be playing like that, and I can totally understand why he would be tempted to ditch that project, which is going to be a short-term project anyway, for the potential long-term project at Manchester United. Like, the forwards not pressing, Mbappe, Messi, and Neymar not doing any work off the ball.
Yeah.
So PSG are forced to play three defensive-minded midfielders to screen that back four.
Mm.
But in doing that, you literally cut off supply to the front three. So in trying to protect your defense, you end up sacrificing progressive passes to your forwards, and it's just an absolute mess. I think Pochettino will be so furious inside, at least he will not say this in public, that he can't get those players to play in the system that he wants them in. And yeah, I totally understand why he would want to leave that club.
Yeah, and do you think he is the obvious choice to...
Yeah, I do think so. I think any manager who can take a team like Spurs and make them title contenders and take them to a Champions League final is probably good. Yeah. So I feel like you can't judge him on what's going on at PSG. He has no control over transfers, over players coming in and going out. He can't look at a 34-year-old Messi who's won pretty much everything and tell him to run. He can't do the same. He can't do that to Neymar. Mbappe has already got one foot out the door. It's just a mess of a situation. So I think that it makes total sense for him to be interested. He went very close to joining United in 2019, I think it was, but missed out. Yeah, missed out after they gave Solskjaer the job following a 3-month run as interim manager. So I feel like he won't want to miss up that opportunity again. He is a huge, huge admirer of Ferguson and just of Manchester United. And I think it makes sense, guys.
And do you think that'll be done before the end of the season?
I do. Yeah. I actually think it's going to be a lot sooner than we expect.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that the plan of hiring an interim manager is... It's not going to happen like that.
Yeah.
But, guys, the way City played, incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't win the Champions League this year, then...
By the way, I don't know, Teko, if you watched it. Just going back to Tuesday night's games. Barcelona and Benfica.
No.
You didn't watch it, but it was...
No, I didn't.
Incredible. Like, Xavi's come in, the team... There's a clear identity. It's back to that Barcelona DNA, the high press, that tiki-taka, midfielders making runs into the box, off the ball. It's just like beautiful to watch. It was a 0-0 draw, but one of the best 0-0 draws I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just like, it was incredible. And I'm so excited to see what happens at Barcelona. A good group of young players. And something else that like stood out to me with that is just how... It's very unique that Barcelona, the system, the famous like tiki-taka possession based style of football, can only really work when it's implemented by somebody who is from the club and who's done it and has a core group of players who share that same sort of link to Barcelona.
This is what Barcelona have needed, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think they'll just need to improve on certain positions. Like they'll need to bring in a player or two. But
centre back, my friend. They need to break centre back.
I agree with you, Teko. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, just before you go, I just want to touch on Sergio Aguero's situation. They've said that he might be retiring from football. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the last thing I saw in that was that he could be forced to retire with this heart condition of his, which is obviously terrible. It's yet to be confirmed though, but it seems quite likely.
Sure.
Unbelievable.
Horrible. Anyway, Kurt the Dirt, you've been amazing.
Cheers.
Thanks,
may,
thanks,
you
Curtie.
May you may go.
Cheers, guys. See you.
Cheers, buddy.
Nice.
Righty, Turka. That was a mouthful of information, but as always, Kurt, on the button. Let's go. Talking about on the button, let's go place our bets. And obviously in the lead with last week's predictions.
Who says who?
I've taken it down, man. I think I'm 25-5 up or something crazy like that. Morocco Swallows versus Chiefs. A big Soweto derby. How do you see this?
Original. I think Chiefs stand a chance. I think I'll give it to Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree. I think if Chiefs win, I think that is, I presume, true to go on as well. It's a big game to get a result for Brandon Trutigon, but good luck. So we're going for a Chiefs 3-point there. Durban derby, Maritzburg United versus AmaZulu FC. Interesting one. I'm going for an entertaining 2-2 draw. Yourself, Teko?
Yeah, I'm going for an AmaZulu, but it's going to be a very interesting game. It's a game that I want to watch.
Are you obviously not doing it, hey?
No, I'm not doing it. Okay. I'm not sure. I haven't checked my schedule.
Then the biggie is Chelsea versus Man United, which is
not a big game. It's not a big game. Let's be honest. This season is not a big game.
it looks big on paper, right?
It looks fantastic.
But it's
exactly.
What do the stats say? So we're going Chelsea, eh?
We know Chelsea's going to. Look, Chelsea's going to win. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, I fully agree. And let's move on to, for me, the news of the week, in my opinion. Congratulations on order. Massive congratulations on order for Mamelodi Sundowns Ladies Football Club for winning the inaugural CAF Women's Champions League by defeating Ghana's Hasakas Ladies 2-0 on Friday night. Teko, there hasn't been much about this in the press. I think people underplay this massively. This is absolutely massive for South African football and huge for South African women's football in general.
I honestly think that this resembles the state of women's football in the country. I think it's got nothing to do with the victory that Sundowns had. I think it just just shows you the state of football in the country. And for me, I feel, you know, it's sad that we are in this state, but also it's nice to see this happening, because then you're creating conversations, then you're building an interest in South African women's football, because now you've achieved so much. I mean, a couple of seasons ago we just won COSAFA with the ladies and the Bafana team and the Banyana team, so there is progress. And you look at the players that we have and overseas and playing for actually good teams. You look at Amamelodi Sundowns right now winning the Champions League. There's been a progression, there's been stuff that has happening, a lot of planning, a lot of commitment that has been going on. And for me, is irrespective of whether they're making a spectacle about it or not, I think this woman, they deserve so much respect. They deserve some kind of recognition somewhere. And also, I just want to congratulate their coach Jerry Shabalala.
Yes.
And the entire technical team, you know, the preparation that have been going on.
Yes.
You know, it's been a lot, and to achieve such, you know, it's something that in football history they'll speak about for years to come. Not everybody will have that opportunity, but I think that on its own has opened doors for so many South Africans to be recognized, for many women to pay attention to football or be interested in coming back and play the game. So it's going to be an exciting time. So for me, it's very exciting to see.
Yes, and I hope this is the catapult for women's football in general in South Africa. We've seen they're having a new sponsor in terms of Hollywood Bets, so things are certainly moving in the right direction, Teko.
Yeah.
This obviously adds fuel to the fire. So massive congratulations to Mamelodi Sundowns. They're obviously putting in so much hard work behind the scenes, so we will watch them closely in the not-too-distant future. That is for absolute sure. But let's move on to this week in football history.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
On the 25th of November 2005, former Northern Ireland international and Man United superstar George Best died in London. Best represented the Red Devils on 361 occasions, scoring 137 goals. Best was known for his fierce dribbling and, of course, his humorous quotes. In the famous words of George Best, "I spent a lot of money on booze, women, and cars. The rest I just wasted." On the 26th of November 1992, French striker Eric Cantona moved from Leeds United to Man United for a princely sum of £1.2 million. He would go on to earn the nickname King Eric from the United faithful and be named the club's player of the century. On the 27th of November 2010, the Premier League saw its greatest ever goal tally for a single day as teams found the net a record 36 times. 16 teams played that day and everyone scored at least one goal. And finally, on the 30th of November 1872, England and Scotland played the first ever official international, which ended in a 0-0 draw. This date marks the birth of international football. Interesting stuff indeed. From there, we move on to the car of the week. This week is the most beautiful brand new Q5 S Sportline. One of my favorites, you know how much I love Audi. Those who seek the roominess and ride height of an SUV combined with the sex appeal of the coupe are almost spoiled for choice in this relatively new market segment. So it was only a matter of time until Audi would bestow its Q5 with its super coupe sports pack suit to join the other thoroughbred racehorse Q models. Just like the Q5 Sport Pack offers advanced and S-line exterior trims with slightly different single-frame grille styling elements, side air inlets, and rear bumper designs. The spacious Q5 is German practicality at its finest. The Sport Pack version looks absolutely gorgeous in the metal, but the usual Q5 is not to be sneezed at either. And almost 100,000 Rand less, the slightly reduced sex appeal is a sacrifice I would be willing to take personally. 0 to 100 in roughly 4 seconds, coming in at a staggering 1 million Rand Teco. You can afford that. I'd give it a 9 out of 10. You could actually buy 3 of those, I think.
No, I'm not an Audi fan. Even if I did, I thought.
Really, eh?
No. I love Audi, I won't lie. But I won't spend such money on a car.
No. It's just ridiculous, eh?
No.
It is a liability, not an investment.
Yes. Now we have learned.
Finance tips, take them a day. But we obviously need motivation to afford something like tax. And this week is my turn. And this is actually my quote. Don't be afraid of being different. Be afraid of being the same as everyone else. Just be yourself.
Yes.
And I think in essence, you have one life, people. Make sure you make the most of it. But most importantly, have fun and be 100% yourself. This can be for upcoming footballers or business or life in general. Just make sure you be yourself.
Amen.
That was short and sweet show, Teco, but to the point. And that is how we wrap up episode number 96 of the Car Wash. Whether you've been listening on SL Podcast, etc., Google Play, Apple Podcast, or Mucky King 96.7 Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Roberts, and of course my very, very, very good friend, Teco Medise.
I wear my butas.
Same time, same place next week.
Peace. Hola. Kuburu.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL Podcast. This is a Slangana car.